radio way.
It's time now for our weekly look at the work of the Woking and Sam Beer Hospices.
Now, over the next few weeks, I'm going to be replaying a selection of the interviews I featured in this weekly slot. And for the first one, I'm going back to last September when I spoke to Nigel Harding.
Now, we come to realise that running and operating the Woking and Sam Beer Hospice, both in the hospices and within the local community, is no mean feat. And this week I'm with Nigel Harding, the CEO, in his office at the Woking Hospice. Good afternoon, Nigel.
Good afternoon.
So how long have you been the CEO here?
I've been the CEO here 4 years in November. Oh, so coming up to it.
So you're coming up to your quarter for 4 years. And what does a CEO actually do?
Some people say nothing, but actually that's far from the truth. We're an £8.5 million business, so really I look after all aspects of the business. I'm responsible to a board, and the board are 13 trustees, so made up of the great and the good of this area, who pretty much keep me on the straight and narrow. The board's role is to look after the strategic direction, and on an annual basis I work with them to define what the strategic objective is, not just for the year we're in, but also for probably the next 5 years. And like all strategies, good strategies need to be flexible and adaptable. So we might have set ourselves a goal last year which might be inappropriate this year, so we have to revisit that strategy constantly. So I report to the board, but also as well at the same time I'm responsible legally for all of the runnings of the hospice to make sure that our care is up to the required standards, and then we fulfil all of the legal obligations of the Charity Commission and the Companies Act as well. So there is all that side of it, which is the complicated bits. And then on a day-to-day business, I never really know what my day has in store for me.
Right.
I can come into the office and it can be reading emails. That's probably the case every single day. Then it could be dealing with HR issues, because we employ about 260 staff all in all. Mm-hmm. And although we have a very good HR department, there are some things that actually need to end up on my desk. So I try and work with them. I have meetings constantly. Because there are so many aspects of the hospice, there is the clinical side. So I meet the clinical team on the inpatient unit. I meet the clinical team that run the community side. I meet the fundraising team. I meet the HR team. Yeah. I meet the domestic staff in the morning that actually do the cleaning and do all of the great things that they do. I meet with our retail team. I go out and visit our shops if I've got time to do that, and then spend a lot of time with finance, because for an £8.5 million business that is very much reliant on charitable donations, and I must emphasise that we get over 80% of our funding from charitable donations, then fundraising and finance are the key things that I really, really focus on all the day, because you know, they could be the things that finish a lot of charities if they're not looked after.
Absolutely, and that's what people just don't realise, that there is a whole operation behind the two hospices and the work you do in the community that needs to be managed by your good self and a team behind you as well.
And the team. The team are really key. We have an executive team. We meet on a fortnightly basis, on a very formal basis, and that is made up of marketing, HR, retail, fundraising, the medical director, the director of clinical services. We're bringing in health and safety, because health and safety is another key thing that we need to do on side of that. And then our community lead as well. So we all sit around the table and discuss the major issues that are facing us. And there are always plenty of those issues arising all the time.
Now, one of the things that we hear about is poor healthcare in hospitals. But how are the standards measured and monitored here in the hospice?
We have to comply with the Care Standards Commission. And actually, they come unannounced and visit us regularly, probably on a yearly basis. And I'm very pleased to say that actually we meet all of their criteria and exceed many of them. So, but that's down to the dedication of the clinical team and everybody else. You know, even as I said, the porters and the housekeepers have a role to play in us meeting those very, very high standards. On top of that, we listen to what our patients and their relatives say. So we do a lot of surveys to make sure that the care we give is satisfactory, suitable, and go beyond what normally would be expected.
And apart from those surveys, are you also working with local businesses and the health authorities and the councils as well?
We work very closely with the CCG, which is the Clinical Commissioning Group, which is the Northwest Surrey Clinical Commissioning Group. Sorry, it's a bit of a mouthful.
It's always
They are the ones that actually tell us and help guide us on the services that they require us to provide. So we do that, and obviously we exceed those and do a lot more ourselves. But one of the key things that we've found this year is that we work very, very closely with the acute hospitals. And down in the south of our region, we have the Royal Surrey. We work closely with them. But our main hospital is Ashford St Peter's. And actually, Ashford St Peter's, we have a very, very strong relationship with. We have come, we operated an initial pilot scheme last year, which then became a permanent scheme, where we actually provide beds here that are dedicated for Ashford St Peter's patients. And those patients are quickly identified by the palliative care team there and then immediately discharged under our care. So that people then, when they're discharged unto us, they can avail of all of the other services that we offer. Counselling, for argument's sake, is one of them. Social advice is another side of it. And as I said, the families and everything, once people come under our care and come under our radar, then actually we can provide them with all those services that, because of the pressures of the NHS, the acute hospitals can't.
So that's the difference you can give here.
That is the difference. It is the difference. We are much, much smaller than the acutes, and we'd like to say that actually our staffing levels are higher than the acute. So we do have time to be able to put a nurse or a healthcare assistant in with a patient and actually just be able to give them that bedside care. It might be just a question of sitting with them, talking to them and listening to them. Now, obviously, in the acute sector, the pressures that they're under, they can't possibly do that.
Sure.
But that's what makes a difference for us.
And that's what we I'm realising as I talk to various people in your organisation, that the staffing element and the support is so key.
It is, most certainly.
So what do you see as the challenges? What gives you the sleepless nights?
It's always money, quite honestly.
Yeah.
It is. Money, first and foremost, because we have massive ambitions. There is so much more that we can do. And you probably already know that we've become property developers as well, because property is a key asset to us. And in the next 12 months, we will be operating a new hospice that we will... It's actually probably Woking's biggest recycling project, because we are recycling an office building and making it into a 20-bedded hospice, which is going to be fantastic to serve all of this area. So we're doing that, and then I'm involved as well in... using our current asset, which is this hospice in particular, to be able to rent out, and hopefully we will rent that out to GPs, because there's a lack of good GP premises in the area. So that's what we need to do, and we're talking to all of the local GPs who have an interest in this, and using that income then to be able to sustain the loan that we needed to build the new hospice. So there's that, so there's the finance side of it, and the other side as well is recruitment. Recruitment is difficult. There are fewer and fewer people going into nursing, and actually we need the very best nurses, so that we are a little bit selective, but that actually makes recruitment very high on our priority list as well. We always need good people, so if any of your listeners are out there looking for a good opportunity, please come to us.
Get hold of you. And I also, on the more lighter note, I hear that your manager for fundraising nominated you for the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Absolutely. I don't think her career will last very long. I'm only joking, she's absolutely brilliant doing this. But yes, I went down to the Spectrum Ice Rink in Guildford. I think most people do this on a hot summer's day in their back garden.
Yeah.
But they took me down to the Spectrum Ice Rink in Guildford, which is pretty cold anyway. And I had two buckets of the shavings from the ice rink put in cold water and thrown over me. But it was really brilliant, because I raised, you know, 100 quid, and 100 quid is 100 quid, and it goes a long way for us. So I was delighted to do it.
And I admire you, because you're fully attired in your suit, collar and
tie. Absolutely, exactly.
As a chief executive.
Very much so, as a chief executive, but you got it.
As always, Nigel, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Now, if you'd like more information about the work of the Woking and Sam Bear Hospices, or you'd like to look at what vacancies are available, then you need to go to the website. Here's the details.
For more information about the hospices, go to their website. wsbhospices.co.uk.